Welcome to our deep dive into bibliotherapy. Now, before you think we're talking about building bookshelves, we're actually talking about building something much more interesting, a better you.
Yeah, we're going to explore bibliotherapy, which is this fascinating practice of using literature for healing and personal growth.
It's amazing to me that something as simple as reading can have such a huge impact on our mental and emotional well-being.
It really is.
Is this like a new fad? Or have people been finding comfort and guidance in stories for, like, forever?
Well, you know, bibliotherapy, it actually has roots going way back centuries.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Think about, like, the ancient philosophers or religious texts.
Yeah.
People have, for, like, all of a time, turned to the written word when they needed guidance or comfort.
That makes sense.
And what's really interesting is that modern science is now, like, starting to catch up and explain why this works so well.
Oh, so it's not just, like, a warm, fuzzy feeling. There's, like, actual science behind the power of stories.
Absolutely. There's a growing body of research that's actually demonstrating the neurological and psychological benefits of reading.
Wow.
For example, there are studies that show that reading can lower your cortisol levels, which is a key stress hormone.
Interesting.
It's like a mini vacation for your brain.
Okay, so we're not just talking about picking up any book,
right?
There must be a specific approach to bibliotherapy.
Yeah, it's not just like randomly picking up a novel. Bibliotherapy actually uses a more structured approach.
Okay.
You're using carefully selected texts that align with your needs and your goals.
So what kind of books are we talking about here? Is it just like self-help books, or can other genres be helpful too?
You know, the range is surprisingly diverse.
Okay.
It can be anything from like classic literature and poetry to self-help guides or even biographies.
Oh, wow.
It really depends on what resonates with you and what challenges you're facing.
Our sources dive into three main types of bibliotherapy: receptive, creative, and group. Can we break those down a bit further?
Yeah.
What does each type look like in practice?
Sure. So let's start with receptive bibliotherapy. This is probably what most people think of when they hear the term.
Okay.
So this involves reading specific works that are chosen, like because they're relevant to your situation.
Okay.
And this is often with the guidance of a therapist or a counselor.
Okay.
So imagine, for instance, someone struggling with anxiety.
Okay.
They might be recommended a book that explores coping mechanisms or that provides like insights into the nature of anxiety.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
You're receiving knowledge and guidance from the text itself.
Right.
But what about creative bibliotherapy? Does that involve like writing our own novels?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, it could, but creative bibliotherapy is more about using writing as a therapeutic tool.
Okay.
So this could include like journaling or writing poetry. Mm-hmm. You could even like compose letters to express and process your emotions.
So it's about kind of taking those external stories and internalizing them through your own writing.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, what about group bibliotherapy? What does that involve?
Well, group bibliotherapy, it kind of harnesses the power of shared experience.
Okay.
It's similar to a book club, but it has a deeper focus on personal reflection and growth.
Oh, okay.
So imagine a group discussing a novel about overcoming adversity and relating those themes back to their own lives.
It sounds like a fantastic way to like connect with others and share insights and find support in a safe and structured environment.
Absolutely.
I'm curious about how reading and writing actually translate into tangible benefits. Like, what's the science behind how bibliotherapy works?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
So bibliotherapy, it taps into some really powerful psychological mechanisms.
Okay.
Our sources highlight four key ones: identification, catharsis, insight and reflection, and something called actionable inspiration.
Okay, let's break those down.
Okay.
What does identification mean in this context?
Have you ever read a book and felt like the character was going through the same thing you're going through?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's such a powerful feeling to realize you're not alone in your struggles.
Exactly. And that's the power of identification. It creates a sense of validation and understanding, especially when you're dealing with something difficult or isolating.
That feeling of being seen can be so healing in itself.
It really can.
What about catharsis? That one sounds pretty intense.
Catharsis is all about emotional release.
Okay.
It's that feeling you get after you finish a really moving piece of literature.
Yeah.
Whether it's like a heart-wrenching novel or a poignant poem, it's like something shifts inside of you.
Yeah.
Allowing for this sense of relief or release.
It sounds kind of similar to how a good cry can sometimes be the best therapy.
Exactly.
You're allowing yourself to feel those like pent-up emotions in a safe and healthy way.
Exactly. Bibliotherapy provides that safe space to experience and process your difficult emotions without judgment or fear.
That makes sense.
And then there's insight and reflection. This one is all about gaining a fresh perspective on things.
Okay.
So, you know, imagine reading a story with a character facing a similar conflict to your own.
Yeah.
It can help you see your situation from a new angle and maybe even find solutions you hadn't considered before.
It's like having a wise mentor guiding you.
Yeah.
But without the, like, awkward small talk.
Yeah.
You're gaining wisdom and insights from the characters and the author's perspective.
Exactly.
And what about the last one we were talking about? Actionable inspiration. That kind of sounds like a fancy way of saying motivation.
Yeah, it is kind of like motivation, but it's more than just feeling motivated, you know? It's about that spark of insight that leads to real, like, tangible action.
I see.
So maybe, like, a biography inspires you to finally pursue that dream you've always had, or a self-help book gives you those tools you need to make some positive changes.
So it's not just about, like, feeling better in the moment.
Right.
It's about actually creating lasting change.
Exactly.
I love that. Are there specific benefits, though, that are associated with bibliotherapy, or is it more just a kind of general sense of well-being?
Well, the benefits are, like, surprisingly specific.
Oh, wow.
And they're well documented.
Oh.
For example, studies have shown that bibliotherapy can actually help people to process difficult emotions, like, way more effectively.
Interesting.
So think about it. Like, when you read about a character that's going through a similar experience that you're going through, it normalizes those feelings.
It makes sense.
And it helps you to feel less alone.
Sharing those experiences through stories, even if they're fictional, can make them feel less overwhelming.
Exactly.
We've already touched on the stress reduction aspect of reading.
Right.
Are there any other benefits that might surprise our listeners?
One of the most fascinating benefits is the impact bibliotherapy can have on empathy.
Oh, yeah.
By stepping into the shoes of all these different characters and experiencing the world through their eyes, we actually develop our own capacity for empathy and compassion.
That's incredible. So reading can make us, like, more empathetic people.
It really can.
Can you elaborate on that? How does that work? Exactly.
Well, think of it this way. When we read, our brains, they don't necessarily distinguish between real and fictional experiences. So we engage with the characters' emotions, their struggles, their triumphs, as if they were our own.
Right.
And this process actually strengthens the neural pathways that are associated with empathy.
Okay.
Making us more attuned to the emotions and perspectives of others in real life.
It's like a workout for our empathy muscles.
Exactly.
That's such a powerful idea. Are there any other benefits that we haven't touched on yet?
Bibliotherapy can also be a fantastic tool for personal growth.
Okay.
Books can challenge our limiting beliefs, encourage self-reflection, and provide us with new perspectives on ourselves and, you know, the world around us.
It's almost like having a personal therapist guiding you through those, like, difficult conversations that you might avoid having with yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And one of the most important benefits of bibliotherapy is its accessibility.
Okay.
You don't need a therapist couch or, like, a fancy retreat center to experience the healing power of literature.
That's so crucial, especially for people who might not have access to traditional therapy or who might be intimidated by, like, the idea of seeking professional help.
Right.
It's empowering to know that you can kind of take control of your own well-being through something as simple and as enjoyable as reading.
Absolutely. And it's incredibly flexible. You can go at your own pace. You can revisit passages that resonate with you. And you can even, you know, incorporate creative writing or discussions with your friends if that feels right.
It's all about finding what works for you.
Exactly.
This all sounds incredibly promising. Mm-hmm. But are there any downsides to bibliotherapy? Like, is there anything our listeners should be aware of before they dive in?
It's really important to remember that bibliotherapy is not a cure-all.
Right.
It's not a replacement for professional help, especially for people with serious mental health conditions.
So it's not about self-diagnosing or trying to, like, fix deep-rooted issues on your own.
Exactly.
It's more about, like, supplementing and supporting your overall well-being.
Right. And it's also, like, really crucial to be mindful of the books that you choose. Because, you know, a poorly selected book could actually be counterproductive.
Really?
Yeah, it could potentially, like, trigger some negative emotions or even reinforce unhealthy thought patterns.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So guidance from a therapist or even a well-informed librarian could be really helpful.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially for, like, those who are new to bibliotherapy.
Yes, they can help you tailor the reading experience to your specific needs and goals.
Okay, so let's say I'm ready to, like, embark on my own bibliotherapy journey. where do I even begin? Are there specific books that you would recommend for our learner types, you know, who are always eager to kind of expand their horizons and gain new insights?
There are many great options, but a few do come to mind based on your listener profile.
Okay.
The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho is a classic for a reason.
Okay, yeah.
It's a story about self-discovery, following your dreams, and embracing the unknown.
That sounds perfect for, like, those of us who are feeling a bit lost or stuck in a rut.
Yeah.
Yearning for adventure and meaning. What else might resonate with our listeners?
Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl is an incredibly powerful book for, you know, those seeking a deeper understanding of human resilience and the search for purpose.
Oh, wow.
Frankl was a Holocaust survivor, and he shares his insights on finding meaning even in the face of unimaginable suffering.
I've heard amazing things about that book. It's like a testament to the human spirit's ability to find light in the darkest of places. Anything else that might be a good fit?
Daring Greatly by Brené Brown is a fantastic choice for anyone who's struggling with vulnerability or, you know, self-acceptance, or even the courage to just be authentically themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Brown's research on shame and vulnerability is both insightful and empowering.
Brené Brown is, like, one of my personal heroes. Her work has had such a profound impact on my own life. I can definitely see how her books would be, like, incredibly valuable for anyone on a journey of self-discovery. Are there any other titles that come to mind?
If you're looking for, like, a boost of creativity and inspiration, Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert is a wonderful read.
Okay.
It's all about embracing your creative spirit and overcoming the fear of putting your work out into the world.
I love how diverse this list is. It really highlights how adaptable bibliotherapy can be, like, catering to such a wide range of needs and interests.
Exactly. And this is just scratching the surface.
Yeah.
There are countless other books out there that could be beneficial depending on your individual goals and, you know, what you're hoping to gain from the experience.
It's like choose your own adventure for personal growth.
Yeah.
But instead of battling dragons, you're battling, you know, limiting beliefs and negative self-talk.
That's a great way to put it. And you never know, you might even discover a new favorite author or genre along the way.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into bibliotherapy, what stands out to you as the most remarkable aspect of this whole practice?
What fascinates me is how bibliotherapy combines something that we inherently enjoy reading with such a powerful pathway to self-discovery and healing.
Yeah.
It's like unlocking a secret door to a richer inner life.
And what I find so compelling is its accessibility. You don't need a therapist, a special degree, or a ton of money to get started.
That's such an important point. It really democratizes personal growth in a way that, you know, very few other methods can.
Right.
Everyone has access to stories, even if it's through a local library or like a friend's bookshelf.
And the potential benefits are pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
Emotional processing, stress reduction, empathy building. Those are game changers for anyone.
Absolutely. But it's important to remember that bibliotherapy isn't a passive process.
Right.
You really get out of it what you put into it.
Okay.
The more actively you engage with the material, the more profound that impact can be.
That makes a lot of sense. It's not just about skimming the pages. It's about really taking the time to, like, reflect on the themes and connect with the characters and, you know, really internalize those insights.
Exactly. It's about having a conversation with the author, with the characters, and, you know, even with yourself.
So for our listeners who are intrigued by bibliotherapy and ready to embark on their own reading journey, what's, like, one piece of advice you would offer them?
I would encourage them to be intentional about their choices.
Okay.
Ask yourself, what am I hoping to achieve through this?
Right.
What are my current challenges, or what are some areas I want to explore further? Once you have a sense of direction, like, finding those right books becomes much easier.
And don't be afraid to experiment.
Yes.
There's a whole world of literature out there waiting to be discovered.
Exactly.
You might be surprised by what speaks to your soul.
Absolutely. The journey itself is part of the magic. You never know what insights or transformations await you within the pages of a book.
That feels like the perfect note to end on.
It does.
A huge thank you to our expert for this fascinating deep dive.
It was my pleasure.
And to our listeners, we'll leave you with this final thought-provoking question. What book might you choose for your own personal bibliotherapy journey? What story calls to your soul, waiting to be unlocked and explored? Happy reading, everyone!